This podcast features three supposed adults who definitely use adult language. They're also supposedly writers who are definitely not procrastinating by making this podcast. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to No Bad Ideas, the storytelling game show where we take the worst ideas from the internet and try to turn them into stories that are actually good.
My name is Gabriel Urbina, and I am your first Bad Ideas host.
My name is Sarah Shackett. I'm your second Bad Ideas host.
And my name is Zach Valenti, your third Bad Ideas host.
And welcome, welcome one and all to the show where in only 10 minutes we try to spin narrative gold out of the worst ideas that humanity has had.
Yes, indeed. And I believe, Sarah, you have the first dose of badness for us today?
I do. I have a gift for you both. Not a gift you should give a child, but I have a gift for you. So this bad idea, dear listeners, comes from Taiwan News. And the link to this article will be in the episode description. The headline just says it all, so I'm going to read it, and then I will give you some more context, and then we'll do our thing.
Fabulous.
So, toy, advertised as kid-friendly in Taiwan, sings a Polish rap about cocaine.
Oh, boy.
Parents thinking about buying this, quote, toddler-friendly electric furry cactus that dances and raps in Polish, which I know I've been thinking
about.
Where can I
sign up for the presale?
Yeah. Well, you might want to think twice.
Get out of my head.
The toy maker claims that the dancing cactus can help stimulate imagination and creativity in children, while another online baby product site describes it as a good device for toddlers. However, when a Polish mother living in Taichung recently visited a Carrefour location with her baby, which is a chain store, she discovered that the cactus was actually rapping some pretty explicit lyrics. The woman told her friend Ella Sobczak, another Polish citizen living in Taipei, about the incident, and Sobczak notified Taiwan News. The mother said the lyrics repeatedly mentioned cocaine and attempted suicide.
Whoa.
Repeated over and over. Quote, this is Sobczak. It's really shocking, she said. The mother from Taichung recognized the song, which was produced by Polish rapper Sypus. She made a video of the rapping cactus and shared it to a Polish online forum. She said that the 32 centimeter tall toy is also available at other Carrefour locations in Taipei and on online shopping platforms, including Shopee, Rakuten, and some baby product websites. The toy is also available overseas on Amazon. Sobczak added, quote, the song itself is definitely inappropriate to play in front of children. And if you are curious, there is a link to videos of the demo for this toy cactus, as well as the song in question by this Polish rapper. And
I'm sorry, guys. I need to hop off this call for approximately 3 to 5 minutes to do unrelated matters.
No, I highly recommend it. And just like, this is bad podcasting, but the side by side of the image stills of this like very cheerful woman on a very like modern, neat looking couch holding a cactus toy, and then like this black and white Polish dude, no shirt, holding his head in his hands in a very moody posture. It's a great comparison.
I love it.
So inappropriate children's toys. I thought that would be fun. I'm putting 10 minutes on this here timer. Tell me a story.
My God, I grew up in the era of the kung fu fighting hamster. It's like this little hamster dancing hamster that sang
everybody was kung fu fighting.
Yeah, so it's like,
oh my God.
Yeah, that it was a whole thing. It was a whole thing.
Like a torture device.
And so now I'm just imagining if that was like, and so you want to take drugs and die. Like, wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? So the fact that it's a known artist behind this and not like some
that is like recognizable
trolling, like faceless thing is
what is alarming to me.
I also do feel a little bit bad for the intern who programmed this toy and was like, no one in Taiwan is going to recognize this song.
This is my question of like, and the, I may have just missed this in the, you know, gaping shock in which I received most of this article.
Yeah.
Has like, is there someone who's who's been singled out for responsibility? Like, has someone either sort of gone like, we mixed up the files, this is not what it was supposed to sing, or like, we, yes, like this was an intentional, like, as usual, I'm trying to
this
kind of spare
breaking
it out, like,
news,
where a choice
Gabriel.
Was made.
Sure. There's no comment from the toys manufacturer in the article, which was posted on July 4th of this year.
Oh, Jesus.
So perhaps investigations are ongoing.
Ongoing.
But so, I don't have that information for you.
So it's not immediately clear then, because my assumption was that the person who wrote the song is like leaning back on the beach in his chair, just like, got him. Like this was an intentional.
Yeah, like this is
Taiwanese children.
Yes.
This is what I'm trying to determine of just kind of like who made a conscious choice here? Like who is taking an action?
Right. Was it the disgruntled employee fired from the toy factory?
Or trying to get fired. Right. Like, you know, like who's the guy that they had under contract that was like, I can't do this anymore. I need to get out of this.
Or like
system.
What bored Reddit forum went berserk and like used all of their hacking skills for evil.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I mean, I think this is a question for the story, right? Like, I don't know the answer in real life.
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
But someone made a mistake at some point in the QC process for that toy.
Yeah, at the very least, yes. And I'm going to say that, like, it should probably be, you know, whether it's a hacker or a person, it should be one specific person. Just because, like,
sure.
I think that making kind of like narratives out of like the things that emerges out of a mob
is that's not
trickier.
Right. And I think with the caveat of that can be part of the twist, is it seems like it's from sort of a Wall Street Bets but eviler like organization. You know, just like a mob, but in fact it was just one person pulling the strings and make, you know, using that as like cloud cover to kind of fly under the radar.
And I guess like the question is like, are we following the person that did this, or are we following the like disgruntled detective that has to figure this out and kind of put the pieces of how this toy materialized together?
I just had a flash to Death Note, and I was going to say, if by disgruntled detective you mean the most precocious 12-year-old ever who received the toy as a gift.
Right, like Harriet and, the Spy, yes. Gets this as a gift and is like, I'm going to get to the fucking bottom
exactly.
of this.
Exactly. And they're just as proficient a hacker as the person who did this thing. And so
it is now kind of like a battle of the intellects, but the landscape is this obscene toy.
Is recess.
Yes.
Amazing. Mm-hmm. This detective's father needs to be played by Tony Leung. That's it. That's all I have.
Very good. Consider it so.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And like, sorry, to return to one more clarifying question. So this is a toy that is available in Taiwan, but it wraps in Polish?
It wraps in Polish. Available in Taiwan from, as best as I can tell, a French chain of retail. So truly, this is a tale of globalization. So,
right. And like there even is this kind of like evil subliminal thing where you think that it's just, you know, wrapping
in
something
way.
In another language, but actually you're hearing all of these things.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Right. So, but I think in our fiction, it can't just be a random, cute, like,
it needs to be like
it
telling
can
the
be
kids
a cute cactus, but it has to be like the cactus. Like it has to be
the new toy of Christmas that
exactly.
like
absolutely
everybody has
absolutely.
To have.
You know, like in 1997, it was the Furby. In like, you know, 2000 and whenever, it was the Bratz dolls.
Right, right.
This Christmas, it is.
No, and the commercials are
the
just
cactus.
Like the original.
Dancing cactus.
Right. The commercials are like the original N64 commercials, where it's just a kid opening it and shrieking for 4 minutes. And when this kid, when like our protagonist gets it and is so happy and then presses play, but there's something wrong because it's not in the right language. They like break out their like open source smartphone and like put on like the language translator device, you know, app.
Yeah.
And you
know what it is? They start advertising this fucking thing in like, since like July, like, you know, like it's been building and building. It's going to be out like the week before Christmas.
Right.
Our protagonist, her dad works in the toy industry somehow. And so he's able to get her a model like 1 month early. And that's when she realizes that this thing is like trying to sell them cigarettes or trying to get them addicted to things. And so it's like the ticking clock. Can she stop this? Can she expose this before
Christmas?
The toy goes wide. Yeah, exactly. Before like it lands in the homes of all these other kids. Like that's the ticking clock.
I love it.
Wow. Because is it too late to reprogram them all? Because I guess once they're all in boxes.
That's a very good question, Zach.
I feel like with our modern technology, or at least our modern fictional bullshit technology, we could reprogram them in time.
Right, right, right. She just needs physical access to the space, which is why...
She just needs to break in.
Right, right. But then the final showdown happens in like digital space. Like I'm thinking like Minecraft or Roblox or like one of these like build a world situations.
Oh, there's like a Tron. There's a Tron battle situation.
Right, right. Like the Western style showdown is like in that sort of a combat space.
Cool, cool. Well, you have a little under 3 minutes. Who is she fighting?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. And like, I think we also need to talk about like, what are these robots or what are these cacti, excuse me, language nerds. What are these cacti trying to get the kids to do? Because I think that there needs to be sort of something where it's like, you know, these cactuses are telling them to start smoking or start buying something. Like, I think that there needs to be like a specific, like the evil plan needs
have
to have a specific
thing. Gabriel, buy Bitcoin, baby.
Oh my God.
Or Dogecoin.
Oh no.
Whatever it is, just drive the price of crypto up. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Doh fuck.
This is all a crypto scheme.
Right. Cactus coin.
You like listen to it backwards and it's like detailed instructions on how to set up a crypto wallet and like get this stuff. Oh my God. Yeah, no, asked and answered.
Here is the discount code to get this like graphics card that can help you.
Everybody was crypto holding.
Oh my God. yeah. No, boom. There and like exactly. And you know, and like the guy who's behind it, he's like got a whole bunch of cactus coin. And the moment that, like, you know, December 25th, all of a sudden that price is gonna jack way the fuck up. He's gonna unload it all and make himself rich again. Yeah.
How do you write Boris and Leet speak? Because I feel like that should be our evil guy's name.
Boris, but in Leet speak.
It would be like eight. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah. And you know, and with this setup, it doesn't necessarily have to be coming from the toy company. This could actually be a guy that hacked the system.
Right. Right. Completely.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. The toy company can have some bureaucracy about it, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, I think he did it in a way where it gets by their QA system.
Sure, sure.
Totally, sure. Totally. No, but I like that. And I like that as a twist of kind of like she thinks that it's Toyco Global that is like trying to do something evil. And then it turns out that it's just like someone using Toyco Global.
That's right. That's right.
30 seconds left. What's it called?
Everybody was cactus.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
cactus for Christmas. No,
I think that like whatever it is, it's the name of the toy itself. And like, I don't have a good answer for it yet. But like, you know, like if it was
super cactus friend,
boom, like exactly.
Super cactus friend done.
Super cactus friend. I like it.
With like 4 seconds to spare. Solved it.
Dang.
There you are. Boom.
That's time.
Call us about this Harriet the Spy reboot Netflix. We can make you some money.
And we can sell the toy.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
The merchandising the options.
Yeah, that's right.
Really call us Mattel. Call us Mattel.
That's right.
All right, let's go field that call, and we will be back in a moment with more bad ideas.
Hello there, dear listeners. Zach Valenti jumping into this episode with this brief message. At this point, you've probably heard about Unseen, the latest audio fiction project from us at Long Story Short Productions. But have you heard that in honor of wrapping up our first season of the show, we've produced a limited edition enamel pin of the Unseen logo. That's right. For a limited time, you can snag your very own 2-inch enamel pin and rep your love of the Unseen world. To check out the sweet design and place your order for one of the 100 limited run pins, head on over to our website at www.unseen.show. Again, you can find the Unseen pop-up shop at unseen.show and pick up your pin today. All right, let's get back to more bad ideas. Well, now that we've conceptually saved Christmas, I have another dose of badness for both of you that is, I don't know if this is a first in the show because, my God, we've done so many ideas, but it is definitely a next level of revisiting a story that we've done before that has had an update.
Wait, okay. like a bad ideas update?
That's right.
We need a
bad idea.
That's right. Let me take you back via the dailydot.com.
Can we get like a flashback sound effect? Just sort of that like.
There we go. Done.
Thanks.
Fully, baby.
Yeah. A deep fake of a vaping teen is at the center of a harassment case. But what if it's not faked? So if you'll remember, there was a mom who was under arrest, under suspicion for faking photos of her daughter's competition on the cheerleading
team.
That's
right.
Yes, yes, yes.
That's right.
And so I continue with Mikhail Thalin's breaking news, breaking back in April. Experts are raising doubts that artificial intelligence was used to create a video that police are calling a, quote, deep fake, and is at the center of an ongoing legal battle playing out in Pennsylvania.
Oh, fuck.
The incident made international news last month after the mother of a high school cheerleader was accused of manipulating images and video in an effort to make it appear as if her daughter's rivals were drinking, smoking, and posing nude. The mother, 50-year-old Rafaela Spone, reportedly sent the doctored content from an anonymous number to three cheerleaders and their coaches. The Bucks County District Attorney's Office, which charged Spone with 3 counts of cyber harassment of a child and 3 counts of harassment, referenced the term deep fake when discussing the images as well as a video that depicted one of the alleged victims vaping. But the accusation is raising serious questions about law enforcement's understanding of deepfake technology and the media's willingness to repeat their claims without verification.
Also,
I know. Hence, no bad ideas. while prosecutors have not provided specifics, allegations surrounding manipulated photos in the case could be explained by widely reported tools designed to make women appear nude in images with the aid of artificial intelligence. But the alleged vaping video has spurred significant pushback from deepfake experts that spoke with the Daily Dot. Although the alleged deepfake was initially unavailable to the public, a cell phone recording of another device playing the vaping footage was provided to NBC News last month after one of the alleged victims came forward. Madi Ham, a cheerleader with the Victory Vipers squad, go Vipers, who was 17 years old at the time of the alleged harassment, denied to NBC News that the footage actually showed her vaping. Ham says she became aware of the video after it was sent, allegedly by Spone, to her cheerleading coaches. Quote, I thought if I said it, no one would believe me because obviously there's proof, there's a video, but obviously that video was manipulated, Haim told NBC News. The Daily Dot reached out to Haim's mother, Jennifer, who appeared alongside Haim in the NBC News interview, to inquire about the vaping video, but did not receive a reply by press time. Henry, Ojder, a UK-based deepfake and synthetic media expert. Wow, that's a thing.
What a profession. That's a 21st wow. century profession if I've ever heard it.
Yeah, no, that's a profession as of like 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah. No, and that's like, if The Graduate was made today, that would be plastics. Deep cut.
I've got two words for you. Just two words.
Yeah.
Synthetic media.
Yeah, that's right. So Henry Ojder, this guy, was one of the first to raise questions about the vaping video after ABC News aired a similar report. Quote, "I had my reservations about the story of a mom making deep fakes of her daughter's cheerleading rivals," Ojder tweeted last month. "One of the videos released by ABC does not appear to be a deep fake, but they still labeled it as one without substantial proof or analysis." Link to his original tweet. Other deepfake experts appear to have the same concerns. The popular deepfake creator, known online by the nickname Dr. Fakenstein, feel free just make a movie about Dr. Fakenstein and completely ignore all the rest of this article. Just saying. Dr. Fakenstein, who currently works as an AI artist for the comedy show Sassy Justice, developed by South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone,
told the Daily Dot. I want to get in on this guy's career. This sounds dope.
He told the Daily Dot that the vaping video did not appear to be artificially generated. Specifically, Dr. Fakenstein noted that the video lacked certain glitches that almost always appear in deep fakes when a face is obstructed by another object. Quote, "It's hard to see, as it's a video of a video, but it doesn't look like a deep fake to me," they said. "The light is shifting like it's natural. No glitching around where the hand covers the face. No glitching around where the vape cloud goes in front of the face, which is very hard, if not impossible, to do without glitches." The Daily Dot reached out to the Hilltown Township Police Department, which investigated and later carried out the arrest against Spohn, to inquire about the vaping video. Police Chief Christopher Engelhart stated that he believed the charging documents against Spohn did not definitively label the video as a deep fake. Quote, "My understanding," this is my police chief.
There you go. Keep going. Voice.
"My understanding is that it was listed as either a deep fake or similar technology," Engelhart said.
In a criminal complaint against Spohn, Hilltown Township police officer Matthew Rice refers to the vaping video as, quote, "the work of a program that is or is similar to," quote, "deep fakes." When pressed about whether the department had entertained the possibility that the vaping video might not be a deepfake at all, Engelhart claimed that investigators had conducted a forensic analysis of the video. Quote,
"The assertion is that the victim was not vaping," Engelhart added. "The assertion is that she, Spohn, was able to manipulate that to have it appeared that she was vaping."
But the experts are skeptical that even the best deepfake creators could produce such a convincing video, let alone Spohn. When asked whether the 50-year-old mother had potentially elicited help from an expert deepfake creator, Engelhart stated that Dr. Fakenstein.
Dr. Fakenstein.
He's got his hands full, man.
Sure, I can imagine so.
Well, so Engelhart stated that while it's a possibility, no evidence at the time indicates that Spohn had an accomplice.
Sure, sure.
Derpfakes, another well-known deepfake artist whose creations have garnered millions of views online, also viewed the vaping video as presented by NBC News and told the Daily Dot that they couldn't say for certain that it hadn't been manipulated. Quote, "I would lean towards saying it's authentic," Derpfakes said. Best sentence I'll ever read in 2021. Yep, I don't know. It's hard. It's a high bar. If it's a deep fake, then it certainly took a certain level of visual effects skill rather than out-of-the-box deep fake software. During a press conference last month, Bucks County District Attorney Matt Weintraub seemed to suggest that the vaping video was based on existing footage from the victim's social media accounts. Quote, "The videos or images already existed in some form. And then our allegation, this is, of course, subject to proof at trial, she's innocent until proven guilty, but our allegation is that Ms. Spohn took existing images from social media from these three victims and manipulated them," Weintraub said. The statement is similar to claims made by Engelhardt to the Daily Dot that Spohn allegedly used legitimate video as a basis for the deepfakes. Police could not answer questions on whether the alleged victim's face was added to a video of a younger female vaping, or if a vaping pen and smoke was digitally added to a legitimate video of the alleged victim. Regardless, experts are skeptical that either scenario is an accurate representation of the footage. The prominent deepfake creator known as Shamook, whose videos have been viewed more than 21 million. What are these people's
names? The names are great. No notes on the names.
No notes. The entire naming convention. Jesus Christ.
Shamook was very good. I'm sorry. I can't keep a straight face.
No, neither nor should you.
Shamook, whose videos have been viewed more than 21 million times on YouTube alone, argued that although resolution of the vaping video is, quote, very low, it's just too clean to be a deep fake. Shamook knows. From my perspective, it isn't a deep fake, Shamook told the Daily Dot. The smoke from the vape would be too hard to create. I just can't see any plausible evidence that it's a deep fake. So there's more to this article. I think at this point, you kind of get the point. I'll just summarize to say the word deep fake.
Are there any other cool names, though?
No more names.
Because that's the last name, I'm just going to skip to the end of the article.
Fair.
And just let you guys know the word deep fake, as mentioned in the charging document, seemed to have become a catch-all term among police, the district attorney's office, and the media when discussing any and all digital content related to this incident. The vaping video aside, the other allegations against Spohn, if true, are still fraught and frightening. But the aftermath of the case against her, if reliant even in part on inaccurate information, could have dangerous ramifications in the world of manipulated and non-manipulated media. And with that, I give you 10 minutes on the clock.
Okay. Let me see if I got this straight.
Yeah, so it's Shamook.
Which I think is important in the shuffle of all these Shamooks.
It's Dr. Fakenstein. And it's a derp fake.
So
can't forget derp fake.
No.
The original story was there's a mom.
Yes.
She has a daughter.
Yes.
The daughter wants to be on the cheerleading team.
Correct.
All of these videos are found of other people on the cheerleading team doing like hella intense, super sketchy things. And then the police were like, wait a minute. No, these were created by the mother to help her daughter get on the team.
Well, they were only
right
found
because they were sent both to the students and the cheerleading coach.
Right. Right.
Sure.
So the police are like, this is online harassment, lady.
But
and I think we turned it into a superhero story, if I'm remembering
correctly.
We absolutely
did, about someone that discovers that their mother is a supervillain.
Is a supervillain, that's right.
Plot twist. Turns out that maybe the super intense, sketchy videos, not fake after all.
Or fake in a different way.
Right. It sounds like there's no question at all that the nudes were faked, which is concerning. Because that's disgusting.
Sure. Yes. But maybe it was kind of like, you know, like they acquired some real sketchy things.
That's right.
And we're like, you know what would make these even more discrediting?
It sounds like she basically found an video of one of the girls vaping and was like, I have some blackmail. Wouldn't it be great if I had blackmail on the other people, or like, you know, damning evidence that would get them disbarred?
So we got a little blackmail greedy. Like, you know, you should have quit while
this
you were ahead.
This is classic criminal prosecutor stuff. Don't get greedy.
Don't get
just
greedy.
Use the evidence that you have.
Don't get greedy.
Classic clickbait headlines where they're just like, deep fakes. They're hot. Let's call it deep fakes. The police say it's deep fakes. It's deep fakes.
Cool. Okay. Got it. Okay. So good to kind of like have that mess untangled. And then there was also a lot of like commentary by people with names that I cannot repeat lest my brain explode.
Right.
About the possible veracity of these deepfakes.
So you're not going to be happy about my idea that we just ignore the cheerleading stuff entirely and have a summit of deepfake experts who Congress has gathered together to make sort of the definitive laws about this issue
because
no one in law enforcement knows. And I think we can spend the next 8 minutes coming up with all of their names.
I can see the C-SPAN chyrons now.
No, it would be an incredibly underreported story because no one could report it with a straight face. And so at a certain point, everyone would just be like, fuck it. Nothing happened today.
It would be the laugh this country needs, Gabriel.
Right.
A kid got stuck on a tree and then they got him down. The end.
AP reporting. LOLOLOLOLOLOL. Deepfake summit. Hilarious names.
Okay, well,
no, you had a serious idea.
Yeah, yeah. Actual idea.
We should talk about that one.
No, I do not have an actual idea.
6 minutes and 30 seconds on the clock.
I'm still kind of like a little bit processing this. And no, and just kind of like, okay, so like returning to like the concrete scenario.
Right.
I think that there's kind of a couple of ways to hack it. I think that one way would be to kind of talk to center it basically on like the reporter that gets sent to cover this case, and everyone is very eager to have it be like an open shut case, and everyone is very eager to be like, no, come on, like this woman just like faked all these things, fuck it. And he's kind of like, no, I think that there's a story here, and it's kind of like, you know, about like the him gradually untangling this web, and by the end of it, of course, everyone is like a little bit guilty, everyone kind of has acted the wrong way,
right? But not before his editor publishes a half-baked draft with his name on it.
Yes.
That is fake news, essentially.
Essentially, yes. And then the town is turning against him. Like, the town is kind of being right. Like, we don't want to talk to you. Like, you know, you published that thing. And he's kind of like, I didn't want to. It wasn't my...
Well, but wouldn't it be more like the parents of the kids who are, like, threatened to be removed from the team are, like, for it initially? And like the Spohn family clan is like pissed, and then it maybe flips when they realize that like Spohn got thrown a bone with the fake news reporting because it maybe is cause for a mistrial.
I'll spice this up a little bit. And the journalist is also a kid at the high school who this is like their first breaking story.
Oh
yeah, he's been like the star reporter on the high school newspaper for like four years.
He's and been they finally the journalism got, nerd
poor yeah. Jimmy
all through high school. He has
gets a
like
shot
three
to
friends.
Report something at like the local proper newspaper,
and it just spirals on up.
Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Because then we can get like the kid's perspective, which is, I think, lost in sort of the legal back and forth.
Right. And of course, like he knows how to Google and understands very quickly that like the level of detail you can accomplish in deep fakes is not like, yeah, that like the word deep fake is a buzzword, and that there's so much more nuance, guys. And like, really, like if you get into this stuff,
but
it's
the
really
reporter never sets the headlines. So
exact. Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Right. Ugh. Poor Jimmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, like, Jimmy's going to be in some hot water.
OK, so it sounds like the antagonist is society at some level. You know, it's like all the grownups who just like want to cash the like advertising checks at the newspaper, and the police who are like,
I mean, it's a struggling local paper, Zach. He's got to keep the lights on.
That's true. They are about to be bought up by that hyper conservative conglomerate. That's just kind
of right.
Well, and it's one of those things where like at first it seems that the villains are the kids. Then it seems that the villains is this like psycho mother that is
right.
Yes.
You know, going psycho is not the proper term there, and I apologize, but you know, this like mother, I mean, that has gone very overboard,
slightly unhinged. Yes. And then it spirals and becomes sort of a larger societal morass.
And I don't know if it, in our fiction version, the mother is totally vindicated and it's nothing to do with deepfakes at all, or if they're like here's the other possibility: what if the daughter created the deepfakes to give her mother ammunition to get her rightful spot on the team throne?
Yeah.
Right. And the journalist learns a valuable lesson that sometimes people are just awful.
This is Vancouver Chinatown, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Needless to say, before this whole thing starts, like before he gets his assignment, he's good friends with the daughter. Like she's one of the like few people in the school that he genuinely likes.
Right. And that they have genuine respect for each other.
Right.
Or they
did. Both like not quite outcasts, but like
they're
not popular kids. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
And like, I think that the key is that at every step of the way, there's a very strong possibility of kind of just going like, boom, case closed. That's the story. Like at first, it's kind of just like, you know, like, oh, there were these people on the team. They did a bunch of sketchy stuff and a concerned parent, you know, brought it to the coach. Case closed. Boom. And yeah. He's like, no, wait a minute. And then it's like, oh, hang on a second. I can confirm that at least some of these are fakes. Boom, case closed. But then it's like, no, wait a minute. But at least some of them are not. And so how did this, you know, like at every right. kind of like point in the road, there is sort of this like possible period. And they just kind mm-hmm. of keep finding mm-hmm. that there is like a stranger, more complicated story beneath it all.
In the minute you have left, and I'm digging this, where does it end and what's it called?
Ooh. I mean, the final layer is that she's involved, that the like the daughter involved. Was
is,
in
is
it.
Is that the daughter's involved?
But does yeah. her yeah. friend on the paper cover for her?
That's a good question, and I'm not sure.
I think she asks him to, and he's forced to make a choice.
Yeah.
And I think that like probably he will choose journalistic integrity and a scholarship to NYU over this friendship, but will be forever scarred by it.
But what if she doesn't ask and she never would? And then he does it anyway, but she comes clean, revealing his skullduggery.
Complicity.
Ooh,
yeah.
I actually really like that. I really quite like that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Because he's all high and mighty and like principles are principles until it's someone close to him.
That's right.
And then he sells mm-hmm. out and fate is just like, no, fuck right. you. Slap in the face.
Yeah. No, and seconds. He like has a conversation with her that like influences her to do this. Like, you know, unknowingly sort of influences her to make this growth decision.
I yeah. love it.
Yeah.
In the 10 seconds of bonus time I'm giving you right now, what's it called?
An open and shut case.
Ooh, and that's an open and shut title. Well, damn y'all.
I like that we had to just kind of like go a little bit meta and be like, no, the story is the story, literally. Like, you know, the story is the reporting.
Right, right. Is the
I mean, yeah. because did you really want to like look at the story very closely?
Yeah.
Not super closely, to be completely honest with
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do deep fakes.
Don't go talk to Dr. Fakenstein. And what was the last one? My brain has already bleached it out.
So there was derp fake. And yeah. then there was the
Shamook. Wait.
Shamook.
And to be clear, like as always with these things, it sounds like these people like are very good at a trade and are actually helping to like demystify a thing that we really need demystified. And we salute them for doing that. But you cannot sit there with a straight face and tell me that those names are not a little bit ridiculous.
Oh, no, they're super funny. But also, it's going to be a very confusing and disorienting century.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Everybody hold on tight.
This has been No Bad Ideas, produced by Gabrielle Urbina, Sarah Shackett, and Zach Valenti. Many thanks to our patrons for their partnership in making this show happen. And a special shout out to our Idealist members, Jennifer Schneider, Rena Sarame, and Rebecca Allen. Today's episode features music by State Shirt and Jazar from freemusicarchive.org. You can support the show at nobadideaspodcast.com/support. And if you love this show, please leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Thanks.